ojida dinay mayindu ojida ngamadung gondela marichu diye jo marichu sun jida di gona ojida danda di ji garis gore aichu sun ji chu modi gona da oda yudi yuri jizo modi gona sum sum jo oda ri Ri Taman Kyo Tavira, then you want me by the song. Or that is some job that you did. Then you should have a number of Ji, whatever they and do, or that matter of Trava, as you were, see, or you go some corner or in under, don't you go to in under, then that you matter of the Marisina Trava, Marisura, did that you do them by Ji. Or that then is you are Mazova, Shiva, Zoa, as you are known. You put a garden change, you got to go, Congo Chani in a garden chambu ending with you, garden de Marishi, Samna, Mayo Sagura, you Michigan, or you daddy garden chambu de Tila, Mazoa Yenati, you Lopanda way and buy and do Tenda Shiva, Mazumi, Shiva Zuana, Jurati, or that Joji, Joji Baji, or that any that. Nari chowje lhongwa di li tarwa la jirwaas oda jikda chowje zidu lamson tazu nana dobi chowo, sobi chowo, tabi chowo jik nyonghongi chowo sena dinra jindra ya jirwaas oda dinra gan jik yansan rako dila hongdingi jik yana di li tarwa la jirwaas di oda jir gwa ji dani dam Jigda dina jitanida kalu madiva kalu divala yuras. Ojida me shikinana dina yuarua. Jibara lapsa jama yahuji shiva yena yon, de kaptin logo marachavana ji de marachavana ji de mana kalu madiva sangu yuar. Oda dina lapsa java yena, jigasamba zongu goni lapsa java yena to mari nundu jimi. Oda dina kalu madiva di. Tinaji, you are married, the Lajajon, the Kalu Divala, Marijuva Dina, or the Yodi Jobita Nishitan by Chayarwa.
So we had stopped at number 16, and we continue now with number 17. Number 17 talks about joining the untamed into the tamed. Now, we talk about having either taming all three doors of activities or even dealing with individual doors of activities. And there are beings who are untrained, untamed, and these need to be their behavior needs to be regulated. Number 18 talks, it has a particular phrasing, it says, joining that which has not been done into that which has been done. And the explanation for that is, for example, acknowledging kindness, right? So if someone has behaved to you with great kindness, it is appropriate and it is polite to recognize, to acknowledge that kindness. And this is the idea, recognizing this which has not been done from your side, this acknowledging. Now, the next one, number 19, it says liberating those who have fallen into the four great waters, the four great rivers. And the explanation of these four great rivers is actually contamination of the desire realm, contamination of existence, of affliction and of views. Removing or liberating those beings from these states. Number 20 is dealing with joining those who do not delight in receiving advice to those who delight in receiving advice. Now, it is quite often that somebody's behavior needs to be corrected. It is often that the teacher or someone who is in a position to give advice offer this advice, but the person does not recognize it, does not accept, does not see it as necessary, has this resistance in receiving advice. And the idea is that this needs to be regulated, needs to be changed.
Oji da dinda imagine du oji da dinda go ni oji da garse go oda midambe
ali nishu tambe
o ni midambe ori mama dinji tambe ji da dinida ri ari nga tinwa yena de ni che tar nga yin go yu war wa de yin de mama de ni che tan ba ji de gon la o ji dan de ni shin ba mo wa shin ba me ba la ju wa si ji de tan ni che ta ju wa de yin ba yin du ji ge ji ge da pe na ji ge zu ra du ro ro che la sa ba la ma re chao ding ge yena de ji ge yong ji ge tin da go chu yin ji la ma re shin 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 ya de mon ding ge ji yena o ji de shin ba mo wa la yong nyau ra ma bu yong ge wa ru wa o ji tin da ni ji shin ba mo wa ma nyin ba ma la phya da chu ne o de shin ba me ba la ma re ju ra di o ji ge da ni che ta ji wa da de nin pho pho nur me ba nur la ju ra si अजी चरदान को शिनो दे नो रेदे देलिन फबो नो जि न फबो नो द सिजी अजी तिनरा गन फबो नो मे ब तिनरा जी हेना देला जुरवा जी निसे तानी वा अजी दा देनी हो जी न नदिन वि तिनरा येना जी मे तोवा येना द गरे येना यो नदिन वि सिना निब सिजी देला मरा जिबु न तयो दिन यो सेमगो न तयो दिन निब युवा वा कौन ये ना जिन्हें आला कौन आ कौन सम को निबादी निबाद में बाला यु युवाशी तबाय ये ना वो दादी निश्चित आसंबा वो जो रीता दिला चुकी।
Now we continue from number one. We move into number 21, where it says joining those with a lot of attachment to those without attachment. And we know that attachment, whether it is directed towards objects such as forms and sounds and so forth, or whether it is directed towards views and so forth, can cause a lot of problems. So the idea is to reduce as much this tendency to be attached to various things. Number 22 is saying joining those who do not possess the area treasures to the treasures, so bringing about this sense of prosperity to those who lack it. Number 23 says joining those with sickness to non-sickness, to health. We know that there are quite a lot of beings who are suffering from the different types of sickness and disease. Some of them are suffering from physical ailments, some of them from mental problems. And the practice of the Bodhisattva is to try to provide whatever medication, whatever support is possible to remove that being from the state of sickness. So that takes us to number 23.
Oji da dina yin ba yin di da ngama di gonga ni shi ta sun ba ji da di a ga ni shi ta ji ba di oji da shi wa nong wa dong dra ba nong wa la ji ba si oji da yir gong yong rong wa ji ma ji ngu dra wu tong di na shi ga me na oji da din dra gu ma ni sun dra wu shi ga yin ji na din dra ji wa yin na yong di ko la ji na nam ji gu shi ra si na dra ji ga lu du ga nong wa dra wu ji yong gu yi wa ri wa din dra yin du oda shi wa nong wa dong dra ba di la nong wa la มาจุจุตะบะยะนะติญิชะตะบะวะจุตะติเนคัมซะมะชิวะชิวะละจุวะยองจุซึซึกัมซึเมคัมติออจุนดงคัมซึคัมซึเมคัมติซัมกุนิซึนโดซัมจองยองเรมะชิงะติเนยะนะยองติตองตินิซึจุกะเตมเปกุนิจุกะชิตะบะจินะติอะดาญิชะกะรซึกุซะงะบะออตะติเนชิชิ
Now we move to number 24, which says joining those who do not have the appearance of wisdom to the appearance of wisdom. And we know that there are certain beings that actually lack wisdom, lack understanding, lack intelligence. And here the practice of the Bodhisattva is to use various means and methods to illustrate the points that about which the other person has ignorance, does not understand. Now the next point is also talking about joining those who do not know, do not cognize the three realms to an understanding of the three realms. So again, you know, there is a case of dispelling somebody's ignorance, somebody's not understanding by illustrating and showing the meanings of the three realms.
ကျေပြပြနေကြီးကရစကိုမစိညောင်တော့လာကြီးနာပြနေရောင်းကြီးရနေတည်လာထကရစကိုရောင်းလုံးပါလာလာရေချောင်းရောင်းစကိုချပြစ်တော့စီကိုကွင်းမင်တို့ဒီကောင်းရနေကြပ်ကျူးကြီးကြီးတွေပါကြီးရေချောင်းတိုင်းကွင်းမင်တို့တည်လာခပ်တိကြောင့်ကြီးတွေဟောစကားရနေရောင်းကြီးတည်တဲ့ကြီးကရစကိုခပ်တိကြောင့်လည်းဟောကြီးတဲ့ကုတ်ကြီးကိုရွာရွာတည်လာရင်ပဲရင်သူတင်တဲ့ကြီးအနည်းသရရင်ပဲလျှောက်တည်လာမရှိမှာဒီခပ်တိတော့ကြီးရောင်း
Now, I will move to the next one, which is number 26, which says, joining those who are following the left-handed path to the right-handed path. And here we're using this, the right and the left path, in as a general idea to indicate that there is a path which is wrong and there is a path that is opposing the right path. Right, so there is a right and a wrong path. We take here the left-handed path as being the wrong one. And the idea is to bring those who are following the wrong path into the right path. Now we move into the next one, number 27. We're saying bringing those who have great attachment towards life and body into a state of non-attachment. There is a category of sentient beings who seem to be quite attached to their body, to their life and so forth. Although it is quite important to take care of the body and make sure that we are healthy and we maintain the body in a proper way. On the other hand, we should not reach the extreme of generating attachment towards the body.
ဒီတန်းနေမချောင်းအောင်ဆောင်ကြတယ်မချောင်းနိုင်စမှာမချွတ်ပါလားယူရပါကြည့်ရင်ကမြင်တေးရင်ပဲရင်သူဟိုတန်းကြီးသာကြည့်ပါဒီဒီကျတော့နာကြီးကွန်ချောင်းကြီးသဘာနေမှာတိလာတော်တော်မေဘကိုနီချီဝရင်နာတဲ့ရောင်းကွန်ချောင်းဆိုခေမာလုံးကကြီးကြီးချမ်းလေးတည်တော့တက်တင်ကြီးရင်နာကွန်ချောင်းကရုတီမာကြီးမေဘမချွတ်ပါဟိုကြီးဒါဒီကွန်ချောင်းကရုရောပါဒီမှာရှိခင်းကြီးနဲ့တိလာကြီးကြည့်ချီပါတင်ရလာယူရရင်နာ
So we move to number 28, where it says to join those who have been separated from the three jewels into a lineage which will be uninterrupted or unseparated from those three jewels. There are certain beings who actually do not seem to even accept the existence of the three jewels, or there are others who, although maybe they accept, they do not pay much attention to the qualities of the three jewels. And this is described by the term beings who are separated from the three jewels. And the idea is to bring all those things, beings, into a state where they can generate faith, they can generate respect, and they can rely on the three jewels properly by taking refuge and so forth. The next one is to bring those whose practice of Dharma has declined into a state where they are upholding the Dharma. So you can see some beings might have started well in the beginning, might have taken on some Dharmic practices, but have allowed that to deteriorate and decline. The idea is to bring them into a state where they regenerate their interest for their practice and they are upholding the Dharma properly. That was number 29. Now we come to number 30, which says to join those who have been separated from a recollection of the three points into the recollection of the six points. So the six important points to remember are, first of all, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. The fourth one is the deity. The fifth one is ethics. And the sixth one is emptiness. Once you start forgetting about those things, you need to be taken back into the path of remembering those.
Oggi dal sem gida me gida deni da ti ona da sinje soji sunni ni yuwa yindu ya sinje soji wa ti nyomo yi dwa ada nyomo wa me ba la ju wa si ta nyomo yi tawa ni ju dwa ti twa so na ju da da ju ma yin bi wa ro nyin tu da ju ma so ron ju da ju ma so nyomo wa dwa li dwa yin oggi tan tho shu yin na tin da ti on ma na ju nyomo shu ju wa yin na nyomo shu de wa la par ko de wa yin na ju ma ra ຈະຍົມມາຢູ່ດຶດດິບຈີກໍປົກສຸລາຕິວ່າອັດຍົມມາເມບາລາມາຈີວາດີຕາສັມຈະສຸຈີວ່າດາດິນີສຸນີວ່າທາມາດີມະກີວ່າຈຸດອັນເດມະວ່າຈີຕາລິງກໍກ້ອງຍໍລົງກູນີມະກີວ່າລີຈີກໍຈຸດອັນເດງີດີວ່າດາດິນະກູນີນະຕີນຽມງິນະວະນະຈົ່ງຊີນີອັດກີວ່າຈຸລາມາລາຈຸດດັງີດີຕາດິນະກູດາສັມຈະສຸນີຍໍາຍິນດິຊາງຈຸດເຊມ ဒီနံပါတ်30ကိုတင်ပြီးဆိုတော့စမ်ပြေစုံကြီးရွေးရင်သူတင်းစမ်ပြေစုံကြီးကနော်နေညီတီရီအီကောင်ကမဆွေမရကြီးကရစဝင်းရှိတဲ့ကြီးညီကမဆောင်ဒီကောင်ရရဆောင်သူစမ်ပြေတံပါတ်ကြီးတန်တော့စမ်ပြေတံပါတ်ကြီးတို့ဘာကြောင့်ရှိကြီးချူချူစီဒီတင်းတဲ့ကြီးမှာဒုန်မှာတော့ဆိုတာတင်းတဲ့ရင်တင်း
Is joining those who are obscured by afflictions into a state where they are free of afflictions. And when we talk about afflictive obscurations, we can recognize them and categorize them in different sizes. We can talk about small or medium or great size of those, and according to how much one has abandoned, how much one has been liberated from those, one can reach different states of arhathood. We talk about arhats, which are hearers or solitary realizers, but of course we have this state of an arhat of the great vehicle, and there is difference in the amount of afflictions that have been abandoned amongst these different beings. And we come to the last one, number 32, that talks about joining those who are practicing non-virtuous dharmas into virtuous dharmas. So we know that there are different activities, physical activities, or different practices of dharma that can be non-virtuous. The idea is to bring all those who are practicing non-virtue into a virtuous path. So by presenting those 32 deeds of the bodhisattvas, activities of the bodhisattvas, we're completing this list of 60 different types of trainings, and the number comes into 60 if you add 28 plus the last 32.
ओजी दा दिने यमे यिन दा दिने जी कम दा दुजी नी दंग नानी ओदा कमजो सन यार फ ओदा ति छमा जीसी जी छमा औ नी सोंग गो रे दी दा यवा दुजी नी यवा कम ति जों सी को छु टु चो दा दिने जी दा दा ति औ नी दा शांग छु जी शांग छु दा यवा मर छे छु नो दा शांग छु दा दिनी यों दे दा दिनी ठनी दी सम यो वा रे वा दिनी शांग छु दा जी दुजी छे मो जिरु सि जी जी वा रे
So in this way, we have actually presented 60 different practices that can act as a way of purifying the potential. Potential is the fourth amongst those seven Vajra points. Number five is enlightenment. Within the context of enlightenment, we will be looking at 16 types of great compassion. Following that, we have qualities. And when we talk about qualities, there are 32 qualities to be enumerated. And after that, we have enlightened activities, which are again presented as being 32. This list of those of the last three Vajra points will be presented in the last session tomorrow. So we can stop the presentation here and have some time for questions and answers.
I have a question regarding something Rinpoche When Rinpoche was talking about, and I've heard this mentioned before, we were talking about the truth that doesn't contradict valid cognition. And I've heard that before said that, for example, in terms of in the conventional realm, when we are putting labels on things, that those labels must be valid for that particular base. And that just at the level of appearance and conventional reality, that it can't be opposing. In other words, if this is the table, we can't just go around labeling it, you know, chair or something. But I've also heard it said that it can't oppose omniscient mind or harm omniscient mind. And what I'm wondering is that, according to my understanding, a Buddha is able to see the two truths simultaneously. So a Buddha could see that this table is empty of inherent existence, directly see the emptiness, but is also able to see that we are seeing this as table somehow. So my question, I guess, is how do we know, or how do we come to understand that, let's say, our label of table, just this particular example, is not harming omniscient mind, you know, when I hear that said, you know. Do you understand my question?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So in the last session, we actually had this, it was within the context of mentioning the three types of examinations that we do. And in the first one, when we were talking about obvious phenomena, we said that it is, you know, they should not, valid cognition is the one that does the analysis, and there should be no contradiction. And you are taking that point in within the realm of the discussion of, let's say, labeling and designating things. So, for example, if we talk about the table, when we use the label table, this has to be in accordance with the characteristics of the basis and correctly describe this basis, but also it should not contradict the omniscient mind. So how do we know that by using, let's say, this particular term, we're not contradicting the omniscient mind, right? Which is able to see the two truths. No. First of all, sir, Rinpoche is saying that when we are applying names, there are two types of names that are applied. In the first case, you can say that you have names that are applied by reason. There is a certain reason that makes us apply this such an object by to call it by such and such a name. Sometimes the reason might be a strong reason, sometimes it might be a small reason. Nevertheless, sometimes there is a reason for giving a name. Sometimes we're just saying that there is no reason whatsoever for giving a particular name to a particular object. So whatever comes in your mind, you decide to use that as a name. So it's as if you sit down, something comes in your mind, and you say, oh, why don't we call it such and such? And in this case, there is no reason behind this labeling. Now, the reason why we're actually applying names, whether we have a cause for calling things in, by that name, or whether there is no reason whatsoever, is for the purpose of recognizing things. As long as the name allows you to recognize an object, then it's a valid name. And as we say, sometimes there is no reason why a particular name is given, but still, as long as it describes somehow this object, and as long as we can recognize the object that is referred to by that name, then the name is valid. This is what happens with conventional phenomena. Now, when we come into the ultimate level of things, into ultimate reality, you have to understand that, first of all, you have a basis of designation, and you apply a certain name into this basis of designation. But as wisdom is analyzing, trying to find that object, the more wisdom analyzes, the more it searches, it cannot find an object there. So there's a That's
the difference in the two levels.
To give you an example, we talk about animals and we use the term four-legged animals, right? The idea is that four legs are touching the ground. I would say it's actually not so, it's not very correct to talk about four-legged because they're only two legs. They, like in, I know in English we call them four-legged and we recognize all four as legs, but the idea is that the front ones are arms and the hind ones are legs, so they shouldn't be called four-legged. Now, and the similar thing happens with different objects that we say, you know, for example, a table has four legs. Does it have legs? Does it really? Are they really legs? But, you know, there are four supports underneath a particular object, and we call it legs.
So how do we understand that when we say that when we do put a label on, the label on another level has to, the object has to function in that way. How do we know it's not harming valid mind when we hear that, you know, that a label that we put on something, mm-hmm. conventional, we hear that it can't harm omniscient mind. How do we understand that?
Omniscient or valid mind?
Valid mind. I mean, how do we, you know, how are we knowing that those of us who haven't seen emptiness directly, maybe that's just the whole question. Haven't seen emptiness directly, how do I know it's not opposing an omniscient mind? Except for the fact that someone is seeing it and they know it's empty, they know it has no inherent existence. But I don't know how to explain that. I hear that being said, and I'm just wondering, I'm questioning when I hear that being said, what is that, how do we understand that for those of us who haven't reached,
those of us who have not reached the state of seeing, how do we know that by using this name, we're not harming valid mind, valid cognition? Yeah.
Are you talking about the label, or are you talking about the basis of imputation? That is a valid basis of imputation that should not be harmed by a black colonizer, or are you talking about just labeling randomly?
No, I'm not talking about random. I'm saying, okay, let's just take an example. We call this a pencil in this realm. If we say this is pencil, no one in this room is going to say it's a pen. No one's going to think we're crazy. It's valid for this basis that we call pen. But how do we know it's not when we hear this? I just hear it said, and I heard Rinpoche say, you know, it can't harm omniscient mind that we label it this way, okay, that omniscient mind is saying this also, the true truth. That's all. I'm just questioning that phrase every time I hear it. I don't understand that.
No, I don't know how much this is going to serve as an answer to your question, but Rinpoche was saying, let's look at another interesting debate, right? When you have cow, listen to that, the funny part has not come yet. So when you have cow dung, right, that is disposed and exits the body of the cow, right? The rear part of the cow. The debate is which is the head and which is the front part and which is the last part, which is the head of the cow dung and which is the last part of the cow dung. Is it are you going to call the head the part which is hitting the ground, or are you going to call the head the part that is closer to the offers of the body, right? So Rinpoche was putting this in as another argument in the debate of labeling. A similar thing also, you know, in the case of a birth of an animal, right? So the first part that is going to come out, are you going to designate it as the head because it's the first part that is being born, that exits through the body, or not?
No, what you're saying was that you heard something, there was a label and it harmed your omniscient mind. There was some talk about harming your omniscient mind. You want to clarify that, right? No. No, Mahasandhi,
Kasim tuwa, Karisigo, Tokyo Gia, Dela, Tokyo Maraju, Robago Guni Tokyo Gia, Dili to the Tarathon of Tokyo Gia, Dili answer to Shibreton of Tokyo Gia, Rambasan Yuariva, or to that Dindaji Guni, to that Konzoba Nisar Dela, to that Malavaji and that any Dukiwari is. The Hajan Hajanga Mastaju Shil Tawajina, Tomanika Nisar Nidu Tartubaji, Shigogoridi. But that is the need to come on by you are. Conserve a chit and jit, don't dumb when you need to talk to you about the Latin, Zumba Chanta in you are. That Zumba Yangi and Tonda Wood in there one. To cup cup la Tarzagamata, Partis on Dinayon, to Nisir Titana, Dimatumi. Certainly on Tonglat is Dumga Marisal to me.
Right, so Arusha was saying here that we mentioned the other day about the need to analyze things, and we use this analogy of the gold, where we go through the three different levels of analysis and examination. And as we go along with that, we move from the grosser levels of analysis to something which is more subtle and goes deeper and deeper. So if we look at an ordinary being, not someone who has a direct realization of emptiness and so forth, it will be, Dharmashi was saying, you know, it will be enough to examine conventional phenomena and go as far as you can go. Of course, understandably, you go from the grosser analysis to a more subtle analysis. So you examine it as much as you can, and you reach the point to say, okay, this is how I accept it, this is how I define it, there is no harm in labeling like this. According to my capacity, this is how I can judge it, and I'm satisfied, this is the limit of my investigation. Of course, for beings who have the direct understanding of emptiness, then they examine things in the light or under the light of this understanding of emptiness they have. So they look at all conventional phenomena and they say, if we look at it comparing it to ultimate truth, they are all false, right? There is a part of lie in each one of them. So the investigation that will be done by an Arya being, the investigation which is done by an ordinary being, are different.
In a prior class, it was said that negative imprints, traces of negative imprints, are very hard to eradicate. Towards the path of purification, when one is nearing purification, do these imprints actually start to vanish, or are they actually just outnumbered by positive imprints that they're rendered most useless if they don't activate again?
Right. So we have mentioned in the previous teaching about the difficulty of removing the traces of imprints that exist in our minds. And the question here is that exactly how are they removed from the mind? Is it that by developing positive qualities they are rendered inactive, or is it that they are actually removed, each one of them? Is this what you're asking? Rinpochela de tangaronso pakcha nyempa, le nyempa ki pakcha ki korla ya khuddinte shuyo res. Chertan pakcha mepa soya tang seya ki lega di pe khala kago dusa. Pakcha seya di khala kago dus. Ayan di pakcha seya di kandis yon singi res. Naronso yon ten di mangro tangne. Yon ten di kare leka nyempa pakcha ki tsavla yon ten kene. The Pakcha Nyenpa di segi rewe ziyamena Pakcha Nyenpa re re ki pa dago res. Tataan di se taan di kare res.
Re daji Pakcha Siji de la Pakcha Zambu dan Pakcha Nyenpa da shi ni yang yuwa rewa. Pakcha Yahu di marci da maru maru taan maru taan gu mi chi. Ta Pakcha Nyenpa di ji kare se go tawa ni me par su tamna yak suri di teyan kali kali go. ที่ชีวิตเราเวชองหรือต้องก็ต้องก็มาจีนะลองส่องสวรรค์นี่มันไม่ประสบดีกับมีกับวิญญาณวิวาหรือว่าที่ยันดูที่มาซื้อการเสกโกที่โดยเฉพาะเจ้าตั้งก็เสียดสอเรื่อยๆนี่ขัดตีนเราที่ขัดตีนจากก็งดงดเจริญมาเต็มบ้านสู้วิวาหรือวิวาหรือที่ที่ส่งก็พอเจ้าเสียดที่ยันที่การเสกโกนทั้งหมดที่ก็มาเลยวาร์ด
ที่เนี่ยเนี่ยสตันเราเนาะพอเจ้าเสียดที่ที่กรมศิลป์เราเตยยกขึ้นวาร์ดคนงูสิจิรมาทำนายอ่ะที่พอเจ้าเสียดยูยูไปเราเห็นดูพอเจ้าเสียดที่การีการีก็รุ่มบีจีรุ่มบีมาเรจังกุจิจีเห็นดี Now, when we talk about imprints, it's good to make the distinction between positive and negative imprints. And the idea is that all along the path, we're trying to increase the positive ones and we try to eliminate the negative ones. If we can completely uproot negative imprints, that would be excellent. But of course, this is something which is quite difficult to happen. So instead of completely eliminate them, we go through this process of reducing their number, gradually getting rid of them. But when we're working at the level of imprints, we need to understand that these are very difficult to remove. The reason why is because imprints represent familiarity. And because we have familiarity, those things keep reappearing. It is quite possible that through our practices, we will come to the point where they will not become manifest. But just because they are not manifest, it does not mean that they are not there, that they have left the mind and that we have completely purified them. So what the practitioner is doing is continuing to practice. Like, for example, if you're dealing with the three main afflictions of attachment, hatred and confusion, you need to keep applying the antidotes to those three again and again and again, so that eventually you can purify, you can remove each one of those negative imprints that exist in the mind. So you remove it gradually. Was that enough?
Yeah, but then ultimately you're saying that they are ultimately removed?
All right, I was trying to get the punchline of the story. All right, Urmshi is giving an example to actually illustrate how eventually how those imprints are removed. And he was giving the example of a particular arhat who was one of the disciples of the Buddha, a person who was present at the time of the Buddha. He was called he was given the title of an arhat, and that means that he had eliminated some enemies. But he had not eliminated all the enemies. The very subtle imprints, the very subtle obscurations are the knowledge obscurations. And this cannot be removed from his continuum. And although he had reached the state of an arhat in his last life, he actually slit his own throat due to the power of those.
One Bhikshu Chaka, so he has destroyed the enemy delusion. So the imprint of the delusion, so that is the knowledge obstruction, obstruction to the Omniscient Mind. So he hasn't removed that. So even though it's an art, so due to that imprint, due to that imprint, there's still that imprint. So that knowledge obstruction. So, he cut his head. So that happened. So one robbery, he had experience of one robbery. See, when he was passing by, Galong Chaga, the fully ordained Arad Chaga, when he was passing by, a robber came and cut his neck. So that's how he passed. That's the doo doo, they passed the imprint.
And there is another story that has to do actually with an anecdote of the life of Arya Nagarjuna. He said at his time there was a particular king in the area, and the king also had a son. The son had the aspiration to become the crown king, but he could not assume this position until the father would pass away. And he approached Arya Nagarjuna, and he explained to him of his, you know, intense interest of becoming the king, and how he was going to, how would he, let's say, speed up the process of death of the actual king so that he could move up into the throne. And it came to the point where Arya Nagarjuna said, well, we can actually test that. We can, and he was saying, we can test how much remains of my imprints, of my negative karma in that. And they said, you can take this the blade of grass, right? And
because the king, he said that the king and him, they had this life connection. So as long as Nagarjuna would live within the king, but Nagarjuna had already achieved, the illusory body in that life, the Shiluji. Therefore, the king would
die. So the state of unification, state of unification achieved.
So the son approached Nagarjuna, right, and with this intention of, the intention was to get rid of his father so that he would climb up on the throne. Because there was this connection between the king and Nagarjuna, he said, you know, the test was going to be passed on to Arya Nagarjuna himself. Now, the prince was actually capable of cutting through the neck, slicing the neck of Arya Nagarjuna, and this is said to be done due to, the only explanation for that is that it must have been some slight imprint that was remaining there, and this was the thing that allowed this action to take place. This is how the head and the body were separated. Nevertheless, the story says that actually, although the head and the body were separated, they are coming closer together.
At the end of it, will join.
When we, in ordinary life, would we make a promise, a vow, we just have to say it once. But when we, in Lord Buddha's system, when we take, say, Bodhisattva vow or other vows, as Rinpoche has explained, at the end of the third repetition, it's said again and again that the vow is generated. Why is it only generated at the end of the third repetition? Is it because of Buddha's actual formulation? Or is it some other way?
Right, so the question is about vows and commitments, and if we do it in our everyday life, usually we only have to say it once. But in the case of taking, assuming vows, we usually have to recite three times, and it is said that it's only at the end of the third repetition that the vows are generated. Why is it so? Rōchila, chirtānga rōnsu, jiktāngi lēkā chēwā inā, ngā rōnsu, dāmchā shāgi yīnslam nā, tēnchī lām nā dēhidūs, yīnā yā, ngā rōnsu, chūyā ki ñamlēn chēwē kāblā, dōmbē sūmbē kāblā, dōmbā lēyā ki chēdū, ngā rōnsu, tēn sūm, dēnrē chēdē tēw gōrēsā. Tēn sūm kā lēwā inā, chārwā inā, tē kāblā dōmbā sārdu kēyō, sūsū gyūn nā ngā sārdu kēyō rēsā. Tē kīmchān kā rē inās?
I'm
just saying that, you know, if it is something important, a really wide virtuous dharma, because of its importance, it is very good to repeat it again and again. It is for our benefit that we are repeating this, because it is important. So you're reminding yourself, right? Don't forget it, don't forget it. And for the third time, don't forget it.
Even 100 times. Even 100 times. For the wide virtues, for the wide virtue, it can be repeated even 100 times.
We stop here for today.
Thank you. Sambo, you're a good one.